Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to an Insta-filtered, Snapchatted, most liked episode of Fat Mascara.
Yes!
I did that in honor of our guests.
You guys, we have Patrick Starr and Manny MUA, Manny Makeup Artist.
We are so excited to have them in the house. Big interview for us. We're also talking about matte lipsticks, a trend that has fully arrived. I had a celebrity experience with mine. Jess's experience, slightly different.
We talked about it around the dinner table.
And then we'll also be talking about face masks and the rise of face masks and which ones we love.
You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
So, Jen, yesterday I was at a family party. It was a wonderful event. But I couldn't help but take a cheeky peek at my Instagram and I saw you hanging out with Katy Perry.
I know, I felt so guilty just because I know she's one of your favorite stars, but I got invited to a CoverGirl launch event with Katy Perry, so
well,
I hung out with her.
You know, family first, couldn't go.
But the weirdest part is we ended up talking about the same things in each of our different experiences. So it was like a matte lipstick day.
It was so weird. We were both on like opposite sides of the river having the same conversation. You were with Katy Perry. I was with my family. So what did you talk about with Katy?
Katy was super fun. She was introducing her Katy Cat collection for CoverGirl. So we talked a lot about matte lipsticks. And she was saying that it's such a trend. People really like it because of all the pigment. But the reason she wanted to create one was because the liquid lip color matte lipsticks that are so popular were really drying. So with CoverGirl, they did a stick and they made it demi matte so that it was a little bit more moisture and more forgiving. Mm-hmm. I asked her how
much. Did you try it on?
Yes, I had a makeup artist put it on me. And then I literally bumped into her as like the meet and greet part. And I was like, Katy, how's my lipstick? And she says, open your mouth. And I was like, what's happening? And she took her finger and she wiped my corners. You know how you get lipstick?
Oh, it's so gross.
If it was a stranger, I mean, it was a stranger, but like, Katy Perry touched my mouth.
No, I mean like the corners thing that happens.
Oh, yeah. Corners.
No, and if anyone's going to touch your mouth, let it be Katy.
Yes, exactly. It was not the lipstick's fault. I was a little hungover, so I was a little bit dry mouthed. But but I got some good tips from her about, you know, how to make the matte lipstick look work.
What did she say?
She said she does like to, with this particular lipstick, she does not like to put a balm first. She likes to do it with a brush. And she did it in colors that like, you normally can only get at the high-end brands, but now you can get at drugstore. So she has a black matte lipstick, which I feel like we haven't seen at drugstore before.
No, we saw that all over the runway.
This
we
trend, covered that. I mean, I've seen some glosses coming back, but like the matte lipsticks aren't going anywhere. No. Do you agree?
You know, matte is having a major moment. I feel like everyone wants a matte, not so much because like they're dying to not have any shine on their lips, but because they want that really high impact, like look at me color. Now, I wore a matte lipstick to the baby shower I was at yesterday. I just felt like I really needed to bring it at the shower, you know.
Very different experience.
Really need
than
to
mine.
make a statement. Just kidding. It was really the only lipstick that I had in my bag. I was not prepared.
Was it well received?
Well, it really was. And I was surprised because I thought it was a little too like aggro for a baby shower. It was Bobbi Brown's Art Sticks in Punch.
Oh, yeah. They are bright.
They're really bright. It's like having a color form on your lip. It's like really intense. But, you know, I felt kind of silly because I was like, is this too much? But it was a hit. Yeah. It was a hit with all ages. 20-somethings, 60-somethings, they want that high-impact color. And everyone was like, Jessica, how'd you get that color? And they said they'd all, like, experimented with mattes, but they've all had, like, horrible experiences. So I told them what my secret is. It's really very simple. Oh. Put, like, a chapstick, I think the brand Chapstick, or Burt's Bees lip balm.
A waxy balm.
Oh, very waxy, nothing that's too shiny. Underneath. And then literally top it up throughout the day. And that's not going to take off the color because it's so dry. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like dab it on. It's not going to make it shiny. It still will look matte, but it's not going to look chalky and disgusting. You just need those two products and you're fine. And you'll still get that high impact color. And pick a formula that's not a liquid lipstick. I don't think those are great. I'm just going to say
You know, I learned why that might be.
Why?
They have a lot of flash solvents.
Flash solvents.
I know.
I love saying that. Oh, my God.
No, but because they
What is a flash solvent, just so for our listeners?
I might get this wrong. Sorry, chemists out there. But I believe so it can stay in a liquid form. It has, like, a higher alcohol level, mm-hmm. which flash dries off really quickly when you put it on your lips, which is why some of those colors can give you, like, a corpsey drying effect. Yeah. So use our tips. Keep your matte from looking like a corpse. You're at the Jersey Baby Shore.
It's actually right. It was on the water. A Jersey Baby Shore shower.
Or hanging out with Katy Perry.
Whatever you choose, whatever's more your style.
Jess, have you noticed this face mask trend is exploding? I feel like every weekend on Instagram, I'm seeing people with face masks on taking pictures of it.
It's like a hashtag mask selfie.
It's a thing, but like so much more than maybe a year ago, this category of skincare is really, just really exploding. I feel like I see more masks coming out. I mean, I don't know if we're selling more. Do you know anything about that?
It's so weird you should ask. I found this really interesting stat the other day in Women's Wear Daily.
Oh, you're bringing the stat this time.
I'm bringing the stats.
Okay, what did you learn?
The crazy science. But no, I read this Women's Wear Daily. It was so freaking awesome. If you think you see more masks out on the market, you're not imagining things. In 2013, masks totaled $60 million in sales. Mm-hmm. In 2015, it doubled to $120 million. Let's talk about why.
In just 2 years, completely doubled in sales.
Completely doubled.
Why do you think it is?
Well, I think people think, like you were saying, it's cute to take selfies. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it just looks funny. People get a lot of likes. You don't have to wear any makeup. It's just, like, cute. You know, it's like, I woke up like this.
That's not going to make you do 60 million more in sales.
I think that's part of it. It's also, it promises quick results. You know, if you're going to buy a $100 cream and like pray to God that in 8 weeks you're going to look better, you're going to be gravely disappointed with a lot of creams.
Yeah, people have this like dream idea of like skincare is, it's not makeup. People love quick results. Yeah. They love seeing something change. And there really isn't skincare that does that other than masks.
Like a good tightening mask or a good like, you know, mask that sucks out all like the oil, like you are going to get a smoother, you know, firmer result for even if it's just a couple of hours.
I mean, important to remember though, this is not a skincare regimen. Like that is a temporary change. I think a lot of people think, oh, I throw on a mask and like all of a sudden my skin's gorgeous for months. They're usually either, if they're clarifying, they're taking out a little sebum in the pores. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some sugars in there that are giving a tightening effect, or if they're really hydrating, you're going to look plumper. But it usually is a temporary effect.
Exactly. And also, like, I used a mask last night. It was a $3 Korean skincare mask. There's so many of these.
Like just a sheet mask?
Exactly. Yeah, the sheet masks are definitely boosted this category. But a lot of them are, the price threshold is so low. So they're at the right by the checkout.
Oh, like it's just like a quick impulse purchase.
Exactly.
That's a good point. So which ones do you like?
Well, I think we both have a shared favorite mask.
Oh, the Goddess Clay.
Oh, the Charlotte Tilbury Goddess Mask.
Yeah.
It's like a vacuum on your skin.
It's good when you're feeling congested or like just like your blackheads are kind of showing because it sort of sucks you out. Mm-hmm. But you got to put moisturizer, I feel like, afterwards.
Yeah, it's very dehydrating, but I think that's a good thing.
In a good way. Yeah.
But the other mask that I love, oh, it's so good. The Naturopathica White Tea Antioxidant Mask.
Ooh.
It's very creamy. You pop it on. You can either leave it there for 10 minutes. It's just good if you feel like, you know, just kind of grody and like you haven't been taking care of yourself. You can put it on for like once a week, or you can sleep with it, which is my favorite thing.
Wait, but doesn't it get all over your sheets?
You could just put that's a great question. You can put just a thin layer on, and it can almost be like a little bit of a balm. So you can put a thick layer on for 10 minutes and then just kind of, you know, tissue it off, or you can just put an extra thin layer and then go to sleep.
Nice. You bring up a point, too, which is these sleeping masks are everywhere now, too. That's another that's adding friendly. To the category.
What are your hot masks?
I like that one from Charlotte Tilbury, and then my go-to always is the SK-II facial treatment mask. It's a sheet mask, mm-hmm. and I think it just has, like, 2 gallons of their face serum in there with the Patera extract. So I feel like it plumps you up with moisture, and then sort of brightening in a way. So
you look see a little, you see an instant result.
Yeah, don't look too closely today. I didn't use it last night.
Are you going to wear one on the plane? Because you've got a flight soon, don't you?
Oh, sometimes I do, but then you look like Hannibal Lecter and the people in the seat next to you get freaked out.
Oh, everyone's a freak now on these planes.
Yeah, you're right. Now that masks are everywhere, sales have grown. Do it wherever you want to do it. People are going to know what's going on.
I think those SK-II masks are pretty cool, but, like, you know, they're a nice treat, I think. And none of these masks are going to solve all your skincare problems. They're more of, like, a nice add-on, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. You guys, I am so excited. We have with us here Patrick Starr and Manny MUA. Probably our biggest, best fan. Like, I'm excited.
Pandemonium.
It's pandemonium
in the clubhouse right now.
Yeah, so you guys are makeup artists, beauty influencers. Between you have well over 1 million followers each. I know I saw when you got to 1 million on YouTube.
You.
But welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thanks so much for having us.
We're just so excited to be
here. This is awesome.
Okay, good. So let's get into it. This is our first double interview, so bear that in mind. We have two people with us. And the reason we thought it was okay to have you guys on together is because you are actually friends, too. Mm-hmm. So tell us, how did you become friendly?
Well, first it started off with me DMing Patrick because mm-hmm. I was such a huge fan of him. I loved his work. And there was not a lot of boys doing beauty back then, like a year or two ago. And so I was, like, so inspired by him, and I wanted to do what he was doing. So I DM'd him, and I was like, hey, we're kind of chatting casually. Yeah, I would literally, like, I have looks on my Instagram from, like, the beginning where it was, like, inspired by Patrick Starr.
Scroll all the way down.
Yeah, all the way down. You can literally find it. It's crazy. So then we finally, we're going to be going to the same convention at the same time.
In Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Called Fame Expo.
Oh, yeah.
And we were both going, and I was like, I hope I see you there. It's going to be so much fun. And so I saw him across the street. Like, one time I was crossing, he was crossing the other way, and I'm like...
Like, literally crossing the street.
Literally crossing
at the
like
same
this.
Time.
And it's I fake. Look over, and I see him, and I scream. I just scream. I'm like, I was like, Patrick Starr, oh God! And I, like, fangirl out, hardcore, ran over to him. And I'm like, hi, oh my God, it's so nice to meet you. And he had his, like, turban down, didn't even have his heels on. He was like, hey.
I didn't even have a large following at the time. It was just, like, I was, like, so loud with my makeup. I was just so drag. I was, like, inspired by glamour and glitz, and I wore my makeup super, super, super crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what got me noticed.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. So when you started doing makeup, did you start on yourself first, or did you like doing makeup on other people and then just translate it to yourself? What was your first experience?
My first experience with makeup, I feel, was my aesthetic came from Photoshop. I was always Photoshopping. I was a photographer, mm-hmm. first and foremost, and I loved art. I was inspired by America's Next Top Model, Extreme Makeover, Makeover Story on TLC, The Swan. So my aesthetic for beauty, like, came from transformation, like Cinderella moments on television and reality. So I would take pictures of my friends and Photoshop them from senior pictures, family portraits, and I would just add makeup on the computer. So I was always, like, toggling on the computer, adding lashes, adding cheekbones, fixing their brows,
that's
contouring
so
on the computer. And then I was like, maybe if I, because I then became professional doing that on a daily. And so I was like, let me add makeup on just my personal clients, like my friends that shoot with me regularly, and I started practicing that way. And then I started to practice on myself.
With actual product, not
with
just
actual
like
products. Yeah, just I feel like I started with foundation, and then I would wear a little bit of brow, a little bit, but more so I wanted to practice on other people.
Right.
So you're trying to mimic like an airbrush look?
Or? Yeah, an airbrush look, because I wanted to save time in Photoshop by concealing acne, lighting and everything. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was just important to save post-processing in Photoshop when I would just apply makeup. So I thought I would just practice, but I really wanted to gain trust of my clientele. I told myself, how are they going to trust me if I myself don't know what my skin type is? So I was like, how will I know if I don't try it on myself? So I started experimenting with foundations and concealers and stuff. So that way I can relate to the client. Be like, well, mm-hmm. my skin is oily. This is what works for me. This is what can work for you. So that's how I kind of just wiggled my way in. It wasn't, it was more so of a practical outlet for me.
And Manny, but you've worked at beauty counters, right? Is that mm-hmm. was that your first experience with doing makeup?
My first experiences with makeup were literally locking my room door, stealing my mom's eyeshadows, and just, like, playing. I was old, and I was still locking my ass in the room.
It was last week.
Yeah, I was like, what's old?
Like, I was old. So I was literally, like, 21.
Okay.
And so I would literally just, like, I would grab my mom's, like, MAC eyeshadows and, like, go and play. Because I love the idea of, like, an artistic outlet, like, makeup. Because I wasn't, like, the most artistic kid, and I wasn't, like, the most creative kid or anything. But, like, when I saw makeup, like, it just, like, started working for me in that way, and I became much more creative and had a different outlet.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and, like, I remember the first, like, makeup I ever did was, like, a blue glitter cut crease. And I was like, what the hell was I thinking, bitch? Come
you
on.
Went hard blue glitter right cut away. Crease.
So it was actually really, it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. It was, like, not blended. It was just the worst thing ever.
Did you just
ever,
come up with the idea on your own, or did you
Yeah,
just,
like, no, I was, like, on Tumblr and just scrolling, and I saw, like, blue, and I was like, ooh, I like blue. I'm gonna try blue. So I, like, stole my mom's blue eyeshadow, and so I was just, like, working with it like that. And then after I started, like, practicing, I would practice literally every single day because, like, I'm such a go-getter type person. Like, once I find something that I like, I love it, and I'm, like, all in. So every day I would practice. And then the restaurant I was working at was closing, like, the day after Pride, because I worked in, like, the gay area of San Diego. And I was like, great, I need a job. So I'm, like, completely broke right now. And my friend was like, hey, like, I know you're practicing makeup. Sephora is, like, hiring one person. Like, you should totally apply. And I got the interview and I got the job. So it was, like, totally meant to be. So I worked at Sephora for a year. And then I worked at MAC for another.
Right
after.
And it seems silly pointing this out, but you guys are men, obviously.
Yeah.
And you wear makeup.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this. I was like, I feel weird asking this question, but I was picturing, like, my grandmother. Like, if I introduced you to my grandma, mm-hmm. she'd love you. We'd hang out. And then you'd leave, and she'd be like, Jenny, what are they?
Yeah.
Like, are they drag? Mm. Are they, like, because people from that era like to label things. So what do you mm-hmm. say when you get questions like that? Do you still get
yeah.
questions like that?
Are oh, you
yeah.
getting them?
All the time.
Who asks you these questions?
It's honestly, like, people that are just, like, confused and people that mm-hmm. aren't, like, as, like, in the know of, like, the LGBT community and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say on social media is when I get the most. In person, I never get people asking me. Like, I don't think I get anyone asking me.
I do. I get questions all the time, like, are you a woman? Are you transgendered? But I think
are they from your fans, even?
Just
even your
fans
asking?
Or people that are just curious, even teenagers. Like, I don't mean to be mean, but I'm young, but are you trans? Are you a girl? Are you a boy? And I don't take offense to it because I taught piano for 6 years. Like, I would teach kids how, like, what white keys are, what black keys are. And knowing that from an educational standpoint, in the makeup industry, I have to give benchmarks for people that have no idea what we are. Like, benchmarks. I am male, and I like to wear makeup. And that's as easy as it is. I don't want to beat around the bush and say, I'm whatever I want to be.
Right.
But for them, that will just make them confused. That will, you know, I don't want them to become ignorant and, you know, and not knowing, because knowledge is power and everyone needs to know, you know, what I do.
Right. So that it doesn't even become, like, a sexuality conversation or anything like that. You're like, I'm a dude that wears makeup.
Yeah.
You're like, here are the facts. Right.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, like, I keep my facial hair and, like, I'm, like, a guy.
Right.
Like, I'm very much, like, the dude, like, that's doing makeup. I'm not, like, the androgynous one. Like, Ed Patrick can definitely get away with being, like, androgynous and, like, feminine looking and, like, more like a woman. But my aesthetic is much more, like, I'm a dude. Like, this is what it is. Like, I have facial hair. Like, I don't really... And just for fun. It's just like a creative outlet.
I do want to get into the facial hair because I'm like, his foundation looks so good when I watch it. And you still, actually, let me just ask, like, I can't even do that now. I'm stubble to contend.
What kind of blender are you breaking out?
Like, is that actually an issue? Like, do you feel like sometimes I got to get a clean shave before we can do this tutorial?
No, never. For me.
I have to.
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll shave first and then you'll...
What kind of razor are you using so I can recommend it to all the men in my life?
I use the Cremo shaving cream. It's a very dense cream. I found it randomly. I was looking for the popularized Nivea post-shave balm. You know, the one aftershave balm that everyone's using. Yeah, so I was looking for that and right next to it was just a bunch of shaving creams. And I was like, let me try this one. And it's like water activated. It's dense. It's super slick. I think it'd be great for the legs too. It's super, super
smooth. Listen, I have
smooth.
A lot to... facial hair too, so it's not just the men.
Yeah, and then I use like a quattro, like a quadruple blade.
Quattro.
Yeah,
okay.
Gillette one.
Yeah, the Gillette. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember because I started using the Gillette one too. Mm-hmm. Just like if I want to shave like my mustache or something.
Okay. Hot tip.
So I wanted to ask you too about our world a little bit, which is editorial and fashion beauty. So if I work at Marie Claire, if I were to go to my office and say I met you guys, I guarantee you 75% of the people there wouldn't know who you are. Mm-hmm. There seems to be this weird still break between makeup artists that work on editorial and fashion and makeup artists that got their start on YouTube or as like an influencer. Do you guys notice that? And do you ever feel unwelcomed by a different type of makeup artist community?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Many are nodding.
Uh-huh. Yeah, let's get real.
Honestly,
what's going on?
Let's get real. Let's get really real. Let's spill the real tea. I do believe that there is definitely like a stigma of YouTubers and influencers because like the thing for me, like it doesn't go for Patrick, but for me, I started solely on social media and like that's where I became like a makeup artist. Patrick has like freelance background and he has like the professional makeup artist background. I don't really have that, so I would definitely see, like, at an event, for example, like, going to some, I'm not going to say the name, but I went to an event, and we were, like, not welcomed by, like, the people there, and we were, like, escorted out, and those people that were, like, they would look at us, and they're just, like, they're not real makeup artists, like, they don't know what they're doing, they just have a large following, and I was, like, it just sucks, because, like, it discredits, like, what we do, because we don't do, because I don't do makeup on clients anymore. I mean, I could, if I wanted to, I could totally do it, but just because I don't do that doesn't mean that I don't know what I'm doing with makeup. Right. So it's kind of weird.
So you have experienced a little bit
totally
of that.
No,
do you think it stems from envy, or do you think it's just kind of a territoriality thing?
Honestly, I really don't know, because I don't really know the makeup artist like mine
I think it's a mix of both.
Yeah.
Because for me, coming from that side, what he's talking about, the event that we went to, was a convention for professionals. And we were, I feel like, escorted out because of the traffic and, you know, blocking other vendors and stuff. But also, we were there on behalf of social media. And that was something new. This was two and a half years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was on behalf of social media. And I feel like the makeup industry or the community there at that time didn't really know how to take this. And I guess they felt tainted or spoiled by this new age of makeup that we have no experience in the industry, which is what they thought. I've worked Fashion Week, I've worked photo shoots, I've tested for agencies. And I have that know-how. I just look like a drag queen at a convention, but that's just my aesthetic. That doesn't mean I do all my clients like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But for me, it goes back to knowledge. You have to ask and be intuitive when learning about people. And for the makeup industry professionals, I feel like, to shun the social media out, if we were to just bridge that gap and educate each other, what is hot now, what is the proper way, what works for editorial, what works for fashion, it would be such a more harmonious world where we could learn from each other. And I feel like
guys, this is the start. Yeah. We're having that's
what I've always wanted.
It's true. Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah, because I feel like there are traditional makeup artists that have studied under degree artists that have worked in the industry for years, and there's a certain way to do things when it comes to magazine, print, commercial, and also people that are agency represented and all that. But and then they see new people like Manny and I having baking techniques and pounding our face with powder, and that's not what they do.
Right.
But that's just what we like.
Let me ask you about that then, because we have asked some of our friends that are makeup artists that maybe have agency representation or work, you know, more in an editorial world. And we say, oh, what do you think of what these people, not you guys, but all the beauty bloggers are doing on YouTube? And some people are so dismissive and they say, oh, they look like drag queens and it's just too heavy handed and it doesn't have that quote unquote editorial touch. Mm-hmm. But obviously you can do other kinds of makeup, but what do you say when people are like, it's too heavy handed? It's just, do you expect people to go out into the world looking strobed and contoured? I feel like I hear you saying you don't.
Yeah,
always.
For me, it's not about what is right, what is wrong. I believe, I've said this to every single person, I believe in the power of perception.
Yeah.
You have to perceive from different points of view. We're not saying what we do in baking and caking is right. We're, as men, if you look at our platform, perceive this in a different way. As men, we are providing inspiration for women to look beautiful. Because as men, if Manny and Patrick can do it and be in Sephora on a cosmetic display, we are giving hope and inspiration to women and men that they can have their Cinderella moment. It's not saying that we're right or that it being heavy-handed is the right way. We're just giving them inspiration. So when they want to break it down and be nitty-picky, it's offensive because that's not what we're trying to do.
They're misunderstanding.
Yeah, they're misunderstanding.
People are taking it too literally.
Yeah.
It's really about transformation, the power of transformation.
And we're giving them hope for the people at home.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to give, you know, someone at home an editorial fashion, light makeup that's going to melt in Arkansas. We're gonna give them good, beautiful makeup.
I suppose people could say the same thing about fashion, opening up Vogue and saying, they expect us to wear this, and it's really just, you know, people want to dream.
So I do feel that maybe this is the start of it, but it has been changing a little bit lately. Like, I saw you guys yesterday at a CoverGirl event. These certain mass brands and department store brands have been hesitant to embrace the community of beauty bloggers. Do you see it changing at all in the last 2 years that you guys have been working and doing this?
100%. I feel like it's been changing so much. Actually, just last month, Maybelline posted me for the first time. That was the first boy they've ever posted, and it became not viral, but there was articles about it that were Maybelline, a huge brand like this, actually posted their first boy ever. And I can literally just see the changes happening because that brand, Maybelline is one of the biggest brands
yeah.
in the cosmetic game.
Yeah, I was in Sephora in February, mm-hmm. like in US and Canada for my nail polish with Formula X. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sephora embraced it because of Kendo. Kendo is one of their right. partner brands. So to have them, it was 10 of us curators and I was the only boy out of the 10 for the year. And to have my face for just 1 month, the shortest month of the year in February, yeah. that was, I guess, kind of like a little creak, kick to the door
uh-huh.
to see some light and saying that it's okay. I had, you know, like, and then to be on display again with Manny, to have two boys
yeah.
on one gondola with a cosmetic brand, that's just awesome.
Volumes. These volumes.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's amazing.
You are makeup artists and you're in the beauty realm, but there's this fame aspect to it that, like, if Tom Pichot or James Caliardos walked into Sephora, I guarantee you nobody would know who they yeah. are.
They can go wherever they please.
Yeah.
You know, they
but
can go you anywhere.
Guys have become celebrities in your own right. Is that weird? Like, do you ever feel you've lost your privacy in any way, or is that not even an issue for you?
You know what Katy Perry said last night? She was like, you have to stay vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I came up, I stole this motto from Colgate on TV. It was at home. Like, and on the TV, like, it was the smile, you know, toothpaste. And it said, life opens up when you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true, like, being vulnerable. And that just comes with social media. But I personally don't feel like famous or anything. Like, it was Katy Perry last night, you know, and then we sit at home in our room and do our makeup. Everyone always asks, what's your biggest advice to become a YouTuber or Instagrammer? And everyone answers on the panel is going to be, just be yourself. That's it too. But go on your social media or go to your coffee shop and just talk to someone. Saying hello is free. Being nice is free. Find someone that loves what you do. Because when I went to, like, the mall to apply at Sephora, Ulta, Mac, I did not get anything.
But you got shot down?
Yeah, I got shot down. Like, yeah, like, I'm sorry. No retail experience. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm a professional freelancer. So then when I went to I guess, one of the counters to pick up a lipstick for a bride that I was working on, they said, hey, do you want to work here and freelance? And I was like, sure. And that was it for me, like, going and surrounding myself with people that loved what I do. So if you love makeup, if you love fashion, find someone that loves what you do. And then I found Manny.
Yeah.
You know, not to get sappy, but it's like, there's another boy. If you guys probably don't know, our families are literally parallel. Like, dad, mom, oldest boy, gay beauty blogger, middle brother, younger brother. Three boys, wow. mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Both moms are nurses. Dad had the same line of work, too.
So it's almost so like a support. Like, built into this
it's
whole
like,
weird
it's
ride
so
that you're
totally
on.
Is.
It's, like,
yeah.
insane. It literally, like, it was almost like, I honestly feel like it was totally meant to be.
Manny,
like,
did you know
friends.
All this when you reached out to Patrick?
I mean, I knew he had, like, siblings. I didn't
yeah.
know, like, the extent
you know,
of it.
Extent.
I know he had mom and dad, of course, but I was, like, seeing him online, like,
it's funny, I saw
know.
His mom last month in New York, and I was like, oh my god, you're losing weight. And she's like, I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm doing such and such. And I was like, my mom's doing the exact same thing.
That's
yeah,
it was
funny.
Just
so
funny,
crazy.
Like, that our families are so parallel, but having another friend, let alone another male beauty blogger in the same space,
yeah.
is, like, so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I feel like it's helped us, too. Like, it helped us, like, so much. Like, it made, like, not only the beauty aspect there, but it's also, like, the friendship that attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's helped not only us, but, like, our audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing, like, friend goals and whatnot.
Yeah, you and friend. You gave good advice for people that wanted to get into what you're doing, but let's talk beauty advice. I mean, that's why we're really
yeah.
here.
Come on.
Let's,
yeah, I'm,
questions?
I'm looking at your lashes, and I'm just mesmerized. They look like a little cat.
What beauty questions do you get the most? Like, is it, like, the same question? You're like, I've answered this a million times. Like, what do people want to know, and what's the answer for your most common beauty question?
My most common question that I see all the time is, what is the best foundation for my skin type?
But you can't see
always.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
always.
Know how you tell
always.
What someone's skin type
you,
is right away.
I swear to
away.
God, like, that is the question I get on Twitter and on YouTube. Everything is like, what's the best foundation for oily skin? What's the best foundation for dry skin? It's always the foundation question because
yeah.
everyone wants a nice base.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
on,
you guys always
so
have
important.
Beautiful base.
So what do you say?
Thank you. So honestly, like, I always reply like, well, like, your skin's different than mine. So, like, what I can recommend is to someone for, like, more oily / combination skin, so this is what I've used for my skin type.
Can you?
He uses a Dior one.
Oh yeah,
I use
a Dior Airflash.
Oh.
That's like my number one. It's Dior Airflash
okay.
is literally
okay.
like the most beautiful foundation like ever worn. It gives you a nice medium to full coverage.
Yeah.
Has pearlized pigments in it, so it gives you like a skin like satin finish. And then when you set it, it lasts all day without
the
getting oily.
Sephora just came out.
Come on, knowledge.
Like, what
come
the
on, knowledge.
Did you hear
like,
me? I'm like,
come on, I'm your spokesperson.
I
would love
too.
To do a sponsored video.
for me, I always want to, like, I don't think there's enough emphasis on this to, again, back to the power of perception. Like, you have to perceive also not just a product, but application. And
yeah.
A lot of people don't consider the application. They dismiss products all the time. So consider, if you're listening, like, literally, how do you apply these products to?
Yeah.
Is it with a brush? Is it with a stiff buffing brush? Are you packing on powder on top of it? Or are you dusting a light layer of powder?
Yeah.
So a lot of people really don't consider, I guess because I come from the artist and education side, from teaching classes, like how are you applying Dior? Mm-hmm. Are you using a buffing brush and stuff? So
what's your favorite method to apply foundation?
For me, you could subscribe to my channel, Patrick Star, to see how I apply. But I'll take like a stippling brush and just apply Dior,
mm-hmm.
but then I'll pack on powder. Like that way I can build up the liquid a little bit easier and just buff it in.
Here's my personal question. Those beauty blenders, those little teardrop sponges, whether it's
the
blender, I know you guys have both used them.
Yes.
How the hell do you keep those things clean?
Oh,
and
I know.
How many do
I'm
you go through
skeeved
a week?
By mine.
Honestly, like, they have cleaners for the beauty blenders. Like,
you said they have, but you don't use it?
No, I do. No, okay. I do. I actually have it. No, I they have, like, beauty blender cleaning. Like, honestly, when I travel, though, like, I never freaking clean them, like, to be honest. Like,
I use hand soap. Is that okay?
That works, too. Like, hand soap is, like, really, really good,
but,
too. Like,
do you ever see the video of the woman who cuts her beauty blender in half and there's, like, all kinds of germs inside?
I've seen that video, like
I try not
aside.
To watch.
I've never watched it.
I never watched the thumbnail.
Yeah, I'm freaked out.
Yeah, but I use, like, dish soap antibacterial. I mean, if it's good for your dishes and you can eat off it, then it's probably good for your beauty blender.
Okay.
No, I completely agree. They have
washed mine for, like, 30
too.
Minutes and there was still makeup coming
out. Yeah, no,
honestly,
it's also
like,
2 years
really,
of dirt.
It's really...
Well,
we got time for anyone. You definitely, like, I'll go through about, like, one every 2 weeks.
Oh, you're supposed to throw them out?
I just don't use them anymore. I just stop.
All right.
That's like realistically, like because I do have a lot of beauty blenders and a lot of like sponges that I just do use often.
Okay.
So I'll use like every like
I feel
one
like
every 3 weeks,
what,
maybe.
Like every month and a half.
Okay.
I feel like at the most.
But that's like the good. That's like the good like average. Like if you're using it all the time.
Yeah.
And you're cleaning it well because it has to be cleaned well.
It'll still break down. Well, let's see. What did you bring anything? Because sometimes we do this thing that's spilled. What do you travel with? What do you
oh
got in there?
Gosh.
What's in that bag?
You want to see what's in my bag?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
Besides
what
all that bejeweled wonderfulness.
So I have my phone. I have a compact here, and then just like I have a suitcase of things because I have a shoot after this. But since I'm traveling, I do have a passport with some sunglasses from Chinatown.
This is such
wallet.
A fabulous little.
Well, that's why you get to know a person when you see what's in their bag.
I have some hand sanitizer from December.
Winter Wonderland.
That is high class hand sanitizer.
I love it. It's Winter Wonderland all year round.
Do you love how branded I am? I have a Benefit pen.
Nice. Oh.
Giving it
on point
I have
there.
Crazy glue for my nails.
Oh my
and
god,
then
this
I
is
have
the best.
Liquid lipstick from Jeffree Star, my favorite color, Gemini. Uh-huh. And then Tarte's Lip Sculptor Duo Gloss and Lipstick VIP. It's my favorite color.
Is that your travel lips?
This
yeah.
is my travel lips.
Yeah,
I love this VIP by Tarte. It's amazing. And then I have like my face touch up for like shoots and stuff in my suitcase.
Manny, what's your go-to lip on the go?
Lip on the go? Like right recently, like it's kind of like changing because like with seasons too, like your lip kind of like trend starts to change a little bit right now. Like I'm actually like starting to get into gloss right now.
Yeah.
And there's this gloss by Marc Jacobs called French Tickler that is literally.
I'm sorry.
I know. I die. The name. I just. What is going on? But it's like such a beautiful like coral gloss, and I feel like for spring and summer it's so stunning, and it has like this like really pretty pink purple reflect to it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous. That's definitely like my go-to, but for like a matte lipstick, I would say. I have collabs out right now.
I would definitely say
like probably Charmed from my collaboration with Oprah is like a go-to, like very easy, toss it on and it's perfect.
Like what do you want to do next? Like where do you go from here?
Honestly, like for me right now, is like my goal is just to keep growing and with social media online.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to create or like I would love to go from not only social media but like traditional media spaces too. Like why not be in a commercial? Like why not be on TV? Or, like, why not be on the carpet someday? So that's kind of, like, what my goal is, too, as well as creating my own brand.
Patrick, what do you want to do? You have a dream client or, like, a photographer that you used to admire that, like, you'd like to shoot with? Or what's next for you?
I'm such a people person because when I when I started doing YouTube, it was so awkward to talk to a camera for minutes, maybe even hours. I'm just talking to a lens, you know? So I feel like my videos do really well when I have or my Snapchat does really well when I have Manny or my mom and they see me bouncing off personality. So I love educating. Also having my own brand too. It just seems so far because, you know, mm-hmm. Things are happening so fast. It's kind of hard to stop and think about a big idea like that, but definitely a brand, and I feel like educating along the way.
Oh my God, you guys have been so
this
much
is a privilege. This is,
oh my God.
The beauty industry needs you guys, really. Yeah.
Okay, let's this is the start of no more division of this kind of makeup artist, that kind of makeup artist. We can all be friends.
There's room
for
in your
all
own
of
right.
us. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks
you
for
guys
having
are amazing.
Us.
Seriously, it's been so much fun. My first podcast.
Yay! So, remember last week how you were all oh, allergy season.
Yeah.
I'm still feeling the pain.
So, do you want to raise a wand to something for
allergies?
Yes,
I'm sorry, this is WebMD over here.
Oh, no.
But this sounds kind of gross, but my skin gets really itchy. And I remember talking to Dr. Dennis Gross, and he told me that some people can get itchy skin around allergies. So here's what I have transitioned to. I'm showing you my hashtag empties tube of Lipikar. La Roche-Posay. Why are you looking at me like I have a disease?
Because it's an empty. It's a nasty-ass bottle. You've definitely used all of that.
I have squeezed this a Colgate tube. It is the best body lotion. I also have it in the body. This is the body balm. I have a tub, a pump, big, tall pump tub of the body lotion next to my bedside. And this is on my dresser so that I always have Lipikar at any moment's reach.
And why is that better than some drugstore Jergens?
Well, it has some kind of anti-itching, anti-scratching thing in it.
Gotcha.
And it's not just unscented. It's just a soothing body lotion. My legs get really itchy and my arms too around this time of year.
That's a good one. I'm gonna try
it. I know,
it.
It's not a sexy topic, but for people with allergies, it happens. You guys know what I'm talking about. Shut up.
I am going to raise a wand to Fran Wilson ITs.
What's that?
This is them. Have you ever heard of these? It's basically a Q-tip for makeup artists, and one end is flattened and one end is really pointy.
Oh.
So my friend and the makeup artist, Emily Kate Warren, turned me on to these because I've been complaining about not being able to do winged eyeliner. She said, you need to get some ITs. This thing is sharp as hell. It's a Q-tip is lovely for an ear. I know you're not supposed to do that. Or cleaning up dust of eyeshadow. This will give you the sharpest line on your winged liner because it's so sharp and precise. And then the other side you can blend with.
So you dip that bad boy in eye makeup remover and then you create your shape?
Yeah, after I messed it up a million times, I clean it up with this shape. And they're just so old school looking. I mean, look at them. They're Fran Wilson ITs. I don't even know who Fran Wilson is. Who knows? But they're $3 and I love them. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week. Bon voyage.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.